Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Print Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Terence Corrigan. Let's get into the first news story of today, and we're just going to sort of cover two interesting political developments going on in the country right now, which suggests that alliances may continue to be shifting in the aftermath of the national elections earlier this year. The first story is that with ActionSA formally cutting ties now with the DA in Tshwane and saying that it is no longer going to support or be part of the coalition government in Tshwane, the DA has turned to the ANC in the hopes that perhaps it will be able to retain governance in that city. The DA says that it is in talks with the ANC right now to see whether they can work out some sort of deal to keep Mayor Silias Brink in power in Tshwane. It's not entirely clear what the sort of exchange for that would be, where the DA might give something. There's been some discussion that they may sign an agreement where both the ANC and DA would agree not to have motions of no confidence against each other in municipalities around the country. They're framing this as an effort to stabilize coalitions across the country. So DA National spokesperson said it was doing all it can to keep Brink in his job, including talking to the ANC. That he said, quote, hopefully we can get to a solution to not only stabilize Tshwane, but Ekurhuleni and Johannesburg. I think that voters are out there sick and tired of being a political play ball due to political parties that want to gain power at all costs. I think there's some important questions that are going to be raised by that, considering the fact that the DA blames the ANC for most of the municipal problems in places like Tshwane and has been touting its successes in reversing, for example, the financial situation of Tshwane out of the ANC. So I'm not entirely sure if they end up in government together what's going to be the result there. Maybe they will just sort of stay out of government but kind of keep a deal going. We'll have to see. On the other side of things, we have the so-called Progressive Caucus, that being mainly the MK Party and the EFF, saying that they will still work together despite what appears to have been quite a lot of bad blood caused by the resignation of Floyd Shivambu, who has left the EFF and gone on to join MK and is now its national organizer. According to the Treasurer General of the EFF, who gave an interview recently to the News 24, she said, we will still work together over key issues we agree upon in the Progressive Caucus. She said, quote, there are no differences. The man resigned. You saw us there on TV when he resigned. If MK Party in Parliament doesn't support the bill, there's nothing we can do about it. But ours is to take what we believe in is right for our people. The impression I got from the quotes from her here was that while she is on the surface saying MK and EFF will still work together nicely, that let's just say that relations are a little bit colder than they were even just a few months ago. And I think there's a real question about whether MK and the EFF can coexist together. It seems that they may be eating each other's lunch a little bit, so to speak. So Terence, let's start a little bit with the first one. What do you think of what's going on in Tshwane? And do you think any kind of deal could work between the DA and ANC at local government?
Well, I think that this is a kind of crunch time, if you like. I think that what we're talking about there is a situation where two parties that have been implacably in conflict with each other are now having to stare down the barrel of the practicalities of cooperation. Now, let's just think for a moment. As you said, the state of municipal governance has been a major stick with which to beat the ANC. If they are kept in power by the ANC's acquiescence, they are likely going to have to make some sort of concession on many other places in the country, and that could give parties like ActionSA a big propaganda stick to beat the DA with. Although I think that ActionSA is already playing something of a dangerous game by agreeing to essentially collapse the Tshwane coalition. But I do think that there's a bigger narrative around this, that the ANC, I think particularly the ANC, has not accepted that it is no longer a majority party. I think it's been trying to throw its weight around, first of all, with the appointment of the cabinet, now with signing the Bella Bill. And I think that sooner or later, they're going to have to accept that giving the DA some wins is going to be necessary for these for the endurance of the GNU, which I think is very much about whether which is also very much about whether the ANC can continue in power in any kind of as any kind of going concern. I don't think that President Ramaphosa and his colleagues have fully realized this yet. I think that they are still playing this as though this is an inherently conflictual relationship where they need to keep. Ronald Amola was saying on X the other day, this is an agreement between the oppressors and the oppressed, as though the ANC hadn't actually been in office for three decades, and still represents a kind of an oppressed denizen class. I think that one certainly part of this is the ANC being able to shift its mindset. On the second one, look, I've said this before. I believe that fundamentally that part of the that part of our politics, the sort of if you want to call it left wing, authoritarian, populist, there's various permutations or expressions you could use. It's really the Osama bin Laden principle. When you see a strong horse or a weak horse, you bet on the strong horse. And I think that Julius Malema has made it very uncomfortable for those who show too much independence. And I think that Jacob Zuma, he and his leadership, whoever they may be, because this is a party that famously is not yet elected any structures. They don't. He pretty much wants loyalty within which framework. I think he'll grant a great deal of autonomy. And if that is what EFF sport careerists want, and I think also Zuma is a far more personable individual. I think it's easier to like Zuma than it is to like Malema, and I think both parties have been based very, very heavily on the persona of their leadership or figurehead. I think this is basically it could foreshadow the reconfiguration of that space around MK to the detriment of the EFF. I would say though that long term, I'm not sure that's a viable proposition. Whatever the EFF's faults or sins are, it has tried to institutionalize itself. It has tried to create structures and chains of authority, personalized perhaps, but MK hasn't famously shown any particular interest in doing that. Former President Zuma the other day was saying, well, what do we need an electoral conference? Everything's working fine. Which, and he is not a young man, and I'm not sure that it has legs beyond his personality.
Yeah, I think that's actually perhaps another reason why people are more comfortable, people who might have ambitions like Floyd Shivambu being an MK, because Zuma is rather old, and you know that within the foreseeable future, there may be a time when you can actually rise through the ranks of the party, whereas Julius Malema is going to remain the president of the EFF, I think, suspect for all time. Okay, let's move on to our next story, and this is sort of three stories about the continuing meltdown in municipal governance across the country. So we have one story here that in Eteguini, the municipality around Durban, that the city paid 500 million rand for a number of smart electricity meters, which would be able to feed billing data directly back into the city's billing system. And apparently, they don't work. It's also not clear if all of them have been delivered. There are numerous problems with the company that was awarded the tender. In other news, municipalities around the country, at least 20 municipalities, are found to have not paid over the money to a third party they were collecting from employees for pensions. In other words, municipal employees seem to have, in many cases, had their pension money essentially just stolen from the money they paid in that was supposed to go into their pensions. IFP Minister of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, Willem Corsini Hlabisa, has asked that there be investigations into this immediately, and if MECs do not institute investigations, he will, as the national minister. And then we also have the growing water crisis in Johannesburg. This has been going on now for most of the year, pretty much. Durban has already been hit by numerous water outages, which have become kind of a way of life there in that city. And now the same thing seems to be happening in Johannesburg. Rand Water has announced, even though we haven't seen the real high temperatures of summer yet, that its reservoirs are running low across the city. Rand Water, the water supplier in Gauteng, claims that Johannesburg is losing 40 to 50% of all of its water due to leaks and problems with the Joburg water system. So while, you know, while I think sorting out the politics is important, the pressure remains on. We have many serious crises hitting our local governments here all at the same time. And local government elections are coming. Terence, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that this is a this is, in a sense, the Janus face of the politics. I think that we have a situation where, on the one hand, we are arguing about whether governments can endure, whether motions of no confidence can be brought, which parties are compatible with which, and who is going to hold whom to account. On the other hand, we have deep systemic crises, particularly at municipal level, and these will endure beyond beyond the tenure of any particular administration. I think also let's bear in mind that constitutionally municipal governments are accorded extraordinary powers, and this is actually quite rare worldwide to have constitutional provisions for your local government system. To provide services that are necessary for day-to-day life, for the ability of businesses to function, you know, irrespective of what the mining charter may say, or whatever. They are simply not doing well. And I think that it will be ultimately the judgment of South Africa's people and South Africa's history on the efficacy of any political arrangement is going to be whether this filters into policy. And the fact that you have municipalities that have effectively stolen, including one seems that bespeaks the place I grew up, the pension assets of its employees, that brings us in sharp focus and illustrates the extent of ground that remains to be covered.
Indeed it does. All right, thank you very much for listening. We hope that you found the show interesting. We will see you tomorrow on the Daily Friend Wrap. That's a wrap.
The Daily Friend Show and the Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR, or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.